So our scripture lesson is from Matthew 25. It's the parable of the bridesmaids. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took a flask of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. Trim just means get the lights going again. The foolish said no to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." And so this is about being prepared, what I was talking about with the kids. And so let me explain kind of this wedding thing, the way it worked. We talked about weddings because when we had the parable of the being invited to the wedding, you were supposed to just come whenever it was time to go. So how many of you went on a honeymoon after you got married? Yeah. See, they didn't do that back here. You basically got married, and then it was kind of like a big parade back to the home wherever you guys were going to stay. But you didn't like just go straight from the wedding back to the home. You would kind of meander your way through the countryside, and that's why they didn't know exactly when to be there. But if you did not have a lighted lamp, you weren't going to be let in. That was the tradition. And so they would not necessarily go straight home. They'd take their time because they wanted to visit everybody they could visit. Because remember, we talked before about the whole community was invited to attend. Then everybody would come to the house and see them. So that's what these bridesmaids are waiting for. So it was about a week-long celebration. Wasn't something that happened really quick and you were over with. I already told you guys I don't really like to go to weddings. I don't mind going to the weddings. I just don't like going to the receptions. I certainly wouldn't like to go to one that was a week long. And so once it was dark, for you to be able to get in, you had to have this lighted lamp. And so this about being prepared is you didn't know exactly how long you had to have the lamp lighted, because you didn't know if it was going to be 2 hours or 4 hours or 8 hours. You just didn't know. And so it's about having enough fuel, easy for me to say, for your keep your light. I am not going to be able to get this lamp and lighted thing right at all. Keep your lamp lighted, or your light lamped, for the time that you needed it to be able to go. And so that's what they're telling. So there's a couple different messages going on here. For the Jewish community, they have heard their whole history is about the Messiah coming. The Messiah is supposed to come. And so what Jesus is saying to them is, you've had your whole lives to get ready for the coming of Messiah, but when I came, you weren't ready. And now you're going to be shut out because you're not prepared. Now, for everyone else, there's a couple different things going on here. You're not at the last minute always going to be able to get prepared, because the part of the problem is we don't know when the last minute is. And so does that mean I need to be prepared for like 2 minutes from now or 2 days from now or 2 hours? We just don't know. And so it's okay to say, "Oh yeah, I'm going to work on that. Oh yeah, I'm going to work on that." But did you really get ready? And so I've got a couple examples. A student preparing for an exam, okay? I don't know about you guys, but sometimes when I was in school, I mean like the night before I was working on it, I always liked the Peanuts one the best, where you, if you put the textbook underneath your pillow and sleep on it, you actually absorb, why are you laughing? You actually absorb the information. Now that may not be the best way to prepare, but it's a way to prepare, okay? And so do we, are we prepared? Did we really get ready? And then if you have, and so I'm gonna pick on Annie because she doesn't know that I don't know anybody's name, but I know hers. At least right now, it could go away at any time. But if she's gonna have some kind of a performance, and no matter how skillful you are with the harp or the piano, you wanna practice ahead of time. You just don't wanna show up that day and go, oh yeah, it'll be good, I'll just be able to wing it. Because maybe the music's different than what you think. And some people are really good where they don't really have to practice much. I don't know if you guys remember a guy that played everything at Muncie Northside, Luther Bradley. He was maybe the best athlete that Muncie ever had. I mean, he could just do anything. I was working at the golf course one night. I think he's a year younger than me, and he came out just to hit golf balls. And about every other one he'd miss, but the one he hit went farther than I've ever hit a golf ball in my entire life. Because some people just have that natural ability. But to be prepared for the coming of the Lord, it requires us to do stuff. However, we're going to get prepared. And I've talked about this, whether that second coming is the time or our death, we have to be prepared because we don't really know when that's going to be. So then the other thing that we can learn is sometimes we can borrow stuff to help ourselves, but sometimes we can't. So in this case, the bridesmaids, they said, oh man, we're out. We need to borrow yours. And they're going, no, we only brought enough for ourselves. You can't borrow it. Now, I couldn't remember when I said this. So I had an attorney that I worked with in Hartford City. And what he would talk about is family sometimes makes people think that. So if you're the child of a person in the community that's always real well thought of, you kind of get a break. You get what your mom and dad brought forward. Also, if they were not good people, that kind of tags along with you too. His motto was, the apple doesn't rot far from the tree. And so, but that's not really true. We all make our own character. And so we can't have a relationship with the Lord just because our parents took us to church when we were younger. One of the things that I used to see a lot, not so much anymore, is that people would say, well, I belong to a certain church, and therefore everything's going to be okay. Well, so what? Just because you belong to a church doesn't mean that you're ready to meet your Lord and Savior if all you did was go to church. But I've seen people do that before. In the Methodist Church, when they used to, nobody does this anymore as far as I know, but if people didn't come, they would say, you know, maybe we just need to delete them from the list of membership. And you'd have family members in the church get all bent out of shape because it was a cousin or a child or something. They hadn't been to the church in years and years and years. And they either were going to another church or weren't going any place, but they wanted them to still be a part of that church because like somehow that was going to help them be ready for when they met the Lord. And that is not being prepared. And so that relationship has to be our own relationship. We can't get it from somebody else. We can't have the greatest parents in the world and somehow they're going to lead us into a relationship with the Lord without us not doing anything. It requires effort on our part. And I talked about character. Again, your family name does not lead you into that right relationship. Nor does a bad family name mean you can't have a good relationship. So that works either way. Now, in the notes I was reading, it talked about spiritual capital. That seems like money to me. But I never could find a better word I liked. however you feel God moving you in your life, which to me, that's the spiritual part. However that works. So when Anita talked today about how she was thinking about saying something, but somehow God worked in her mind or her mouth or heart, whatever part caused her to keep that to herself, and then she realized later that was the best thing to do. Sometimes we don't recognize those things. We just miss out on them. But that spirit that's around us always, whether we take knowledge of it or not, can help us and guide us to get us to the right place. Now the question is, are we open to it? Because sometimes, and I've told you guys this before, my mom says, I never think, when I'm saying something, she goes, I don't think you have any filter at all. I told her, I filter everything. You should hear the very first thing that went through my mind before it comes out. So she's 91, she'll be 92 in March, and she still tells me this stuff. And she said, it's not that funny. She'll show up to church one of these days. But what she'll say is, do you ever think before you respond? And I go, oh yeah. I said, that was like the fourth thing that came out. It wasn't in the top three. And so we need that spirit to guide us, because sometimes we are our own worst enemy. The question is whether we allow us to be led. Do we listen to that, or do we just jump on? And I can't help this. I think that's what President Trump's problem is. First thing that comes to his mind, he's got to say it. I always wanted someone to take his phone away from him. Just because you can send out tweets doesn't mean you have to, okay? So that's the last of my political comments today. But we all have that ability to do stuff. I mean, somebody will say something to us once. I mean, we've all done this, I'm sure. Somebody will say something to us, and like instantaneously, we've got a response to send back. It may not be the best response, may not even be like the 80th best response, but because it's zinging in our mind right now and our mouth can move, we want to zip it out there. But that's not what we're supposed to do. And it doesn't help us become prepared. And so, to bring this to an end, what happened with the bridesmaids is they ran out of oil because they didn't bring enough to start with. Now, oil can represent whatever you want it to. It's the amount of ability they had to be ready for that event that night. However you want to look at it. When they didn't have enough, they had to go get more. Now, I don't know. The times I've been in the Selma, I haven't found any place to buy gas, right? Have to go back to Muncie or Farmland, correct? Parker City, whichever way you want to go. And so one night I'm coming home on the interstate, and so my car's a hybrid. I don't really know what happens when you run out of gas, but it said I could go one more mile, okay? And I was getting off at the exit, and it was only, 500 yards. Now, I don't really know what 1 mile means. Is 1 mile really a mile? And again, I'm not really sure how the batteries works, So if I did run out of gas, would it have batteried me to get around the corner to the gas station? But, I didn't turn left and go to the speedway that was like a quarter mile down the road. I went to the right and got the Shell, even though it was a dime more, because I wasn't really sure I could get all the way down to the other side. And so that was me not being prepared. I thought it would go a little farther. And it was still running when I got there, so it worked. But it doesn't mean it was the best use of time. And so for these bridesmaids, we know they're out in the country, but we don't know how far away it was. Well, by the time they go and get more oil to light their lamps, to get back into the party, it's too late. So what this parable is, don't wait too long to either get prepared or have what you need. Because none of us know when that time is. Now, yesterday I was on a Zoom, because that's every meeting now, Zoom. I was on a meeting, and one of the pastors from Southern Indiana, who is a little different than me, we'll just say that, she was really into it's end of times. And I have a really hard time with that because I can read the part of the Bible that says nobody knows when that is. And so for someone to try to guide me into saying it's like now or 2 weeks from now, I don't get very excited about that because I don't know. And it's not important. What's important is for us to be prepared. Because if you're prepared, it doesn't matter. It's all about being ready. So whatever it takes for you personally to get ready, get ready. And so this evening's message is kind of going to go with this one, and how we reach out to people to get them ready. Because it's not that we're only worried about ourselves, we're worried about the whole world. The whole entire world. And so don't be the late person. It's okay to be the first person. You do not want to be the late person. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we're so blessed that we can come together to worship, to praise you. We're grateful for the grace and the love that you give us each and every day. Be with all of us as we go out into your world to find love and grace and share it with all those that we come in contact with. Amen.